And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we are thankful for this day, thankful for a beautiful day and for another opportunity to be here in church. Thankful, Lord, for each one that's come. And Lord, I do pray now that you would please help me as I try to preach the message that you've put on my heart. Help me to have clarity of thought and mind and speech. Lord, help me to say exactly what you want said, nothing more, nothing less. And I do pray that you would help each one of us to be able to focus, to be alert, to be attentive. Lord, it's so easy for our minds to wander away and be somewhere else. Lord, help us to realize that what's most important right now is this service and this time where we've come to hear the Word of God. Help us to listen, have ears to hear and hearts to receive. And most of all, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be doers of your Word. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here in Luke chapter 15, as many of you know, we have recorded three parables that were told by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have three earthly stories with spiritual or heavenly meaning. In verses 3 through 7 of this chapter, we have the parable of the lost sheep. Then in verses 8 through 10, we have the parable of the lost silver. And then finally, beginning in verse 11 and going through verse 32, we have the parable of the lost son. And a careful study reveals that one, if not the main point of these parables, is to show how heaven and its inhabitants react when a single sinner repents. What you see in this passage here, in this chapter, is that there is rejoicing in heaven and the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. That is because, as the Bible says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it also shows the value that our Heavenly Father places on one soul. But this morning, the parable that I want to deal with in the message is the third, the one that I'm sure most people are familiar with. It is the longest of the three by far, and we most often refer to it as the parable of the prodigal son. That is the title that we normally give to this parable. But I want this morning, and probably again also next Sunday, to deal with this particular parable. And today I'm going to preach on what I call the losses of the lost son. The losses of the lost son. And I want to show you from the verses that we just read six different things that the lost son lost. This from a practical perspective, is a lesson about what a child of God loses whenever they leave the Father's house for the far country. So I want you to stay with me and pay attention as we go through these verses together. And first of all, I want us to look at verses 11 through 14. And I want you to notice here that the lost son lost his finances. He lost his finances. Whenever he left the father's house and went to the far country, he lost his finances. Take a look at verse 11 and notice. The verse says, a certain man had two sons. And that's really what this parable is going to talk about. It's going to talk about these two sons that belong to this certain man. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me. Give me. That sounds like most children, doesn't it? Give me. Give me. Give me. I know that's how I was growing up. I always went to my mother with a handout. I think that's just kind of how children are. We just always want to be given something. And it seems that the longer we go along in this, the more spoiled the people become, and the more of a give me attitude is seen in children nowadays. But this younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods. I don't want to work for it, for goodness sake. I don't want to have to earn it. Just give it to me. That's kind of the attitude of a lot of kids. And hey, nowadays that's the attitude of a lot of adults. There's people all over this country that would just as soon lay at home every day on a couch and let the government provide a living for them instead of them getting up and getting an honest job and working for a living. That's just kind of where we are. We're reaping what we've sown. Our government and the way we do things has sort of condoned that way of life and continues to do so. But he says, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He's wanting the portion of his inheritance. The Bible says that his father divided unto them his living. That's the father's living, what he had worked for, what he had acquired, and what he had given a lot of his life to. He gives to this younger son the portion of goods that he wanted him to have. Then you see in verse 13 that this younger son made a very foolish decision. The Bible says in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. What's he gathering together? He's gathering all that his father just gave him. That's what he's gathering. He's gathering all of that. His portion of goods that was doled out to him by his father. He gathers it all together. And the Bible says he took his journey into a far country. Now what you've got to understand is that this decision, this foolish decision, was something he'd been thinking about and planning for a long time. This is why he went to his father in the first place and said, give me the portion of goods that belongs to me, because in his mind and in his heart, he had already been planning to go into the far country just as soon as he had opportunity. In fact, the only reason he had not already gone is because he did not, up to this point, have the means to go. If he'd have had the means, he'd have done been gone. But he's been thinking about it. He's been planning it. So just a few days, it says not many days after, just a few days after he gets his inheritance, he packs it all up and he heads off into the far country. What a foolish decision he made. I just want to say right here, there's a possibility that in this service here today, there is someone, or maybe even several someones, who's thinking in your mind and planning in your heart to leave the Father's house and go into the far country. It could be an adult. We tend to think a lot about how younger people get wayward and stray away, and we know that happens, but I tell you what I'm seeing more and more as I go along, I'm seeing more and more adults leave the Father's house for the far country. It's not just little kids and teenagers that are getting out of church and getting out of fellowship with God and going back to the world. There are adults, and I'm not just talking about middle-aged adults. I'm talking about some older people that have been in church for the majority of their life are walking away from God and going to the far country. Perhaps I'm talking about you this morning. Or maybe it is some of these younger people. Maybe it's even my son. We don't know what's in people's hearts, really. I can't see in their heart. Only God knows a person's heart. Maybe there's an adult. Maybe there's some kids. Maybe there's somebody here that's just thinking this morning, as soon as I get a chance, I'm leaving. As soon as I get enough money, as soon as I get the opportunity, I'm walking away. I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired of the restrictions. I'm tired of all this Christianity and this going to church and all this stuff. After all, I gave my life to God and things aren't exactly turning out the way I thought they would. So I'm just going to get out. Just as soon as I get a chance, I'm going to get out. Let me say, young or old, listen to this preacher this morning. That will be the most foolish decision you'll ever make in your life. Those of us that have already been down this road to the far country know what we're talking about. What a foolish decision. Please don't do it. This young son here, or this younger of the two sons, gathers it all together and he goes into the far country. I want you to look here, verse 13. And there in the far country he wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous living, that's rebellious living, wicked living, sinful living. You look on down at verse 30 in this chapter, you get a little bit of an idea of what the boy was doing. The Bible said there in verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He's off in immorality, promiscuity. He's just living in sin. That's what he's doing out in the far country. And the Bible said there in verse 13, he wasted his substance. Any time that you spend money on something that is wicked, it is a waste. He wasted his substance with riotous living. And look at what it says, verse 14, and when he had spent all. I don't know how much it was his father gave him. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'm assuming it was a pretty substantial amount. He gathered it all together. He went to the far country, and at some point after going on this journey and living it up, living in the fast lane, enjoying life, all the stuff that people think in their mind, got to get out there and get into what everybody else is in, got to get in that stuff. That's where it's at, man. That's where it's going on. And before you know it, his bank account says zero. He loses his finances. There's a lot of people that are in trouble right now financially. I'm telling you, they're in trouble financially because they decided at some point to walk away from the Father's house to go out into the far country. But here's something I want you to notice about this. Look at verse number 12 once again. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. His living. Whose living is that talking about? It's talking about the father's living. Again, it was what he had worked for, what he had invested in, what he had given his life to have. Look again at verse 30. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, his older brother saying, he went off and threw away your living, fooling around with those harlots. Was the older brother telling the truth there? Yes. What I want you to understand is that what that younger son threw away, actually wasn't even his. It was his father's. It was his father's living that he had given to this son. That's what he threw away. How many of you in here this morning understand, as the Bible says, that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father? The Bible says that except a man receive from heaven, he can have nothing. Paul talks about how we don't have anything in our lives that we have not received. You understand this morning that what you possess is a gift from your heavenly Father. You say, well, I worked for it, I earned it. Yeah, you probably did work, you probably did put in the time. But let me ask you this, who gave you that job that you go to work to? Who gave you the help to get out of bed every day to go do the work that you do? Who is the one that has allowed you to accumulate the things that you have? It isn't you, friend. Were it not for God, you'd be without everything. So what you have is a gift from Him. And here's the thing that I want you to think about. Just in case some of you are thinking about taking some of what really isn't yours, it's His, and spending it on something you have no business, I want you to remember that every time you dole out money for a bottle of alcohol, say, Christians don't drink, do they? Who are you kidding? I expect we got some in this congregation right here to take them a little toddy all alone. Don't think there's anything wrong with it. Just having a few suds with the buds. Yeah, and every time you go and dole out that money for that liquor or that beer or that wine, you doling out God's money, friend. How does that make you feel? You're doling out God's money. I want you to think about it. Every time you get ready to dole out some money for something that you ought not be buying, I want this sermon to be in your mind. I want it just to be right there in the front of your mind where you know, hey, I am fixing to spend what really doesn't even belong to me. What is the property of a holy God on something that is wicked and ungodly? And I hope and pray you'll be convicted enough that you'll put it back in your pocket and not waste it on that. Every time you get ready to dole out some money for tobacco, every time you get ready to buy you a lottery ticket. And I know I done quit preaching and went to meddling here. But I'm just going to keep on meddling, okay? The truth is the truth, friend. You can either say amen or oh me, one or the other. But every time you dole out that money for something that's righteous and wicked, you're doling out God's money that he's given to you to be used for his glory for something that is wicked. He lost his finances. But here's something else I see in the passage that he lost. Not only did he lose his finances, but this lost son lost his fun. He lost his finances and he lost his fun. You know why he wanted to go to the far country? I mean, it's pretty clear in the passage why he wanted to go there. He wanted to go there because he wanted to have fun. That's why the Bible says that he got involved in righteous living. Why did he go there and get in that righteous living? Because in his mind, he believed that's where it was at. He left the Father's house because he believed in the far country there was fun to be had. And I have no doubt that for a while, he did enjoy himself. For a while, he's living it up. He's enjoying himself. He's having a whole lot of fun for a while. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says the pleasures of sin are just for a season. Can you have fun in a far country? Yeah, you can have fun. You can. You can get out in the world and in that far country and you can do some stuff that makes your flesh feel good, that gives you some temporary gratification. You can do it. People do it all the time. They go out for the fun and they have it and they enjoy it for a while. But look in this passage and notice that there came a day when the fun ran out and his whole situation changed. He had fun for a while. But look at verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. So he's gone from bad to worse. Now he's broke and there's a famine. Things getting bad. And he began to be in want. You reckon he's having fun now? You reckon he's second-guessing his decision at this point? I don't expect he's enjoyed himself a whole lot. Man, he did for a while, but now he's not having any fun. Listen, friend, if you go into the far country, you will have some fun for a while, but sooner or later, things are going to change, and like the Bible says, you're going to start reaping what you sow. And the fun's going to be no more. Please understand that. There's pleasure in sin just for a season. And then there's a price to be paid. There's always a price to be paid. It may not happen the first week. It may not happen the first month. It may not even happen the first year. But I'm telling you, sooner or later, if you are a child of God and you leave the Father's house, the Bible says he chastens those that he loves. And sooner or later, the fun is going to run out. And there's going to be a price to be paid. We were talking about it a little bit this morning in prayer time. I'm always amazed at the people who sow to their flesh and do stuff that they know they ought not do. And they do it for year after year after year. And then they go to a doctor and he says, your lungs are eat up with cancer. Your liver is eat up with cancer. You got all these issues and these problems, and then they'll want me to come by and visit with them, and I'll go by and visit with them, and this is what I hear over and over and over again. I've heard it till I'm tired of hearing it. Preacher, I just don't know why God did this to me. Are you kidding me? You kidding me? God did this to you, did he? Did God put that cigarette in your mouth? Did God put that alcohol in your body? Did God cause you to commit an act of immorality or adultery? Did God do that? You don't understand what I'm saying? People live in sin and they sow seeds of wickedness over and over and over. And then when something bad happens, they want to point their finger up at God like God did something wrong. Friend, God didn't do the wrong. They did the wrong. And they're simply reaping what they've sown. The fun's over. There's a price to be paid. You can have fun, but I'm telling you, there will always be a price to pay. And I know that's not real popular preaching, but let me say this to you. I didn't come here this morning to be popular with anybody in this church, okay? I came here because I love you, and I care about you, and I want to say something that hopefully will help you. That's what this is about. It's not trying to meddle. It's not trying to get in your business because, hey, after all, when you leave here today, you can do anything you want to do. You don't have to listen to anything I say. But my hope and prayer is that you'll listen to what God has to say from his word and start making some changes now that might help you not have to deal with bad things down the road. Amen. The fun is going to run out, just like it did for him. He lost his finances. He lost his fun. Another thing I see in the passage that he lost was his food. His food. The Bible said there in verse number 15, when he began to be in want, that he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He's having to hire himself out now. He doesn't have anything. And there's a famine. He's got nothing. He's wasted it all. So he's got to find some work. He's got to do something. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And this citizen sent him into the fields to feed swine. Don't you think about that for a minute. Assuming that this young man was a Jew, don't you know? It was a humiliating experience for him to have to go out and feed hogs. A humiliating, degrading thing. Listen to me, folks. That's what sin does to you. Sin humiliates you. It brings reproach upon you. It shames you. It causes you to have to hang your head in embarrassment. It's why so many people become reclusive and they want to get away from everybody else because they realize maybe when it's too late, the damage that they've done and the embarrassment that they've wrought upon themselves. That's what sin does to people. I think about a fellow in the Old Testament by the name of Samson. Samson could be called the strongest weak man in the Bible. He was a powerful man. Strength unbelievable when the Spirit of God would move upon him. You read Samson's story, it's unreal, man. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't even believe it. Some of the stuff that that man did when the Spirit and power of God came upon him, but he was a weak man. He gave into his flesh over and over and over again. And here is this judge of Israel, this man with the power and the Spirit of God on him who cannot control his flesh. He just keeps giving in because that's what his flesh wanted. And he gets deceived by a harlot. The Philistines capture him. They put out both of his eyes. And the Philistines take him and hook him up to a thing where he'll grind. You know what normally did to grinding? An animal. Y'all have seen them old grist mills and sugar cane things where you hook a mule or something like that to it and they just go around grinding. Y'all seen that, haven't you? You don't go out and see people doing that. That's animals. Here is this mighty man of God reduced to a blind person doing the work of an animal. Can you imagine the shame and the humiliation and the disgrace that man must have felt inside of him every single day? That's what sin will do for you, friend. It'll bring you reproach and shame and humiliation. That's exactly what it'll do for you. Feeding hogs. And this boy is so hungry, according to verse 16, that he would have eaten hog slop. Any of y'all in here ever slopped hogs? I never had to slop hogs, but I've seen it. That's some nasty looking stuff they pour in that trough, isn't it? When I get ready to eat, I don't think, boy, I'd love me some hog slob today. Look at verse 16, and he would fain, the word fain means gladly or willingly, he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He lost his food. A lot of these people living out on the street in a cardboard box are people that when they were little kids, your mom and dad brought them up in church. They got saved in Sunday school, and later on in life, they left the father's house for the far country, and now they have nothing, nothing. Living out on the street in a box. There are people, maybe not in that bad a condition, but right now they're struggling for just the basic necessities of life. Struggling to have food, to buy groceries. Struggling to keep their lights on, to pay their bills. Struggling. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, friend. It's hard. You leave that father's house, and it's going to get bad somewhere down the road. The man lost his food. Here's a few more. I got to move on quickly. I'll tell you something else this lost son lost. He lost his friends. I've always found it interesting in reading this story right here. He goes out and joins himself with this citizen. The fellow sends him out to feed his hogs. He's so hungry he would eat whatever the hogs were eating. Perishing with hunger, it says in verse 17, but look at the end of verse 16. And no man gave unto him. No man. He got no friends. Nobody helped him out. I've been down that road before, by the way. As long as you got money, as long as you can give them something and do stuff for them, they'll be all around you. They'll be on both sides of you. As long as you can come pick them up and take them out, as long as you can buy them a meal, as long as you can buy them some beer, as long as you can take them to a football game, as long as you can provide and provide, as long as they see you as a resource for themselves, they'll be all around you. Amen. But you let the well run dry and see what happens to them. Friends are gone. Not there. And of course, I understand they're not real friends or they wouldn't leave. Amen. Because the Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. But you understand what I mean here. He had friends around him. As long as he had what his father had given him, long as he could hook them up with the harlots and let them have a good time, people all around him. But as soon as he was bankrupt, every one of them walked away, and not one of them come to visit him in that hog pen. Not one of them come and said, "You help me, can I help you?" Not one of them offered to do anything for that young man. He's left out there to feed the hogs and eat what they're eating. No man gave unto him. But you flip that thing over on the other side. We've talked about it before. You stay in that father's house where you're supposed to be, and you'll have the best friends you've ever had in your whole life. I had some of those friends like I'm talking about when I was out in the far country. I had them. I remember whenever things got the darkest, I'd lost basically everything. And didn't even have a vehicle to drive, because when I decided I was going to leave home and sow my wild oats and do my own thing, my mother wouldn't let me take my truck with me. Thank God. Thank God. I tell you something, you will not find in this passage right here, you will not find that father helping that boy one bit when he's in that far country. You won't find it. He's not going to help him do wrong. My mother said, "You ain't taking it." I lived in a little old trailer park out there on 29, worked at a cabinet place or a countertop place there. I don't even know if it's still open now. Well, I was living it up, you know. Went from having a nice place to sleep, vehicle to drive around, good meals every day, to living out by myself eating beanie weenies, Viennese, I ain't kidding you, Viennese sausages, you know. Getting stuff stole from me. Little old rinky-dink, nasty, rat-infested place I'm living in. Walking to work every day. And things just got worse and worse. I didn't have nothing to offer my friends. I'd be walking, literally walking from where I live to go to work. And I would have friends that knew me drive by and blow the horn and keep right on going. Not one of them stopped to ask me, "Could I give you a ride to work?" Not one. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. Some of you been there. But you stay where you're supposed to be. I've told you, and I mean it, I'm not just saying this, I got the best friends, real friends I've ever had in my entire life right now. Best friends. He lost his friends. A couple more. Let me say, he lost the Father's provision. He lost the Father's provision. He begins to be in want, verse 14. Not one time, not one second of one day did he want while he was with the Father. But when he left the Father, he began to be in want. It may have took a little while, but he began to be in want. Down in verse number 17, look at what he says. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He finally wakes up, and he realizes that back home, the servants, he's a son, but the servants back in the father's house have enough food to eat and some left over. They can eat leftovers. And here I am in a hog pen eating slop and I'm starving to death. This is a man who is without the Father's provision. He's without it. We tend to quote Psalm 23:1 where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Philippians 4:19 where it says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We want to drag that out. And we want to say that applies to any Christian at any time, irregardless of how they're living. That is a misapplication of the Bible, friend. God nowhere has promised to provide for you while you live out in the far country and live in rebellion against him. Now, you stay with the Father, he'll take care of every need you have. You shall not want if you let him shepherd your life. He shall provide every need if you let him have control of your life. But you leave the Father's house and get out in this world, don't think you're going to go out there and everything's going to stay the way it is now. It's not going to happen. You don't have the promise of his provision in the far country. You don't. And here's the last thing. What the lost son lost, he lost his fellowship. First of all, he lost his fellowship with his father. All the while he's gone in the far country, he's having no communion whatsoever with his father. There's no fellowship. When he was back home, he could see his father every day. He could talk to him every day. They could walk around, work together. His daddy could walk up and put his arm around him and say, son, I love you. Man, it's such a blessing to have you here. I just love you so much. And he could say, daddy, I love you. And they could just fellowship, and there was harmony. Everything's good. But when he left the father's house, he left that fellowship behind. Do y'all understand that you cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with God? The Bible says that if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There is no such thing as living in the far country and at the same time having fellowship with your heavenly Father. There's no such thing as that. Can't have it. He lost the fellowship of his father, and then last of all, he lost fellowship with his family. He had a brother. People in that house. He lost fellowship with all of them. Not only do you lose fellowship with your heavenly father, but when you leave the father's house, you lose fellowship with the family of God. Your brothers and sisters are in Christ. You lose fellowship with them. You know something that all of us need, whether we're willing to admit it or not, whether we realize it or not, what we need. Obviously, we need fellowship with our Heavenly Father, but we need fellowship one with another also. You need the people in this church here this morning. The people in this church need you. There's stuff you can get from fellowshipping with the saints of God you can't get. You hear me? You cannot get out in this world. But you cannot have fellowship with the Father or with the family and be in the far country. The things that this son lost, I guarantee you that when he finally got back, and praise the Lord he did get back, but I guarantee you when he finally got back, there wasn't a day, a moment of his life that he didn't regret the foolish decision to leave the Father's house for the far country. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning thankful for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, I don't know anybody's heart. Maybe there's someone here today that's thinking about it, already thinking about the far country. Lord, please help this message to stay with them, Stay in their heart and their mind. Help them not to make that foolish decision. God, give grace, I pray. If there's somebody here that's already wandered away, help them to come back today. Help them to know they can come back to the Father's house and be restored to fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.